This is Papa Hale speaking, and you are listening to a Wrestling with Words podcast. Visit us at WrestlingWithWords.com and follow us on Twitter at WrestleWords. If you don't, you are not Papa Hale's approved. But remember to always be fired up!
Wrestling show here on the Wrestling with Words Audio Network. I am Patrick, your host, with my co-hostess of the mostest, the Screen Queen Tamika.
He's back. Welcome back, Patrick. We missed you.
For the first time, I think, in FOW history, I was not on the show that I created because of my cold. Took my voice. No, I did not have tuberculosis like Danny alluded to.
I thought it was SARS. You had SARS, right?
I don't know what it was, but all I know is I could not breathe. So now I can. I feel great. And I feel excited because we had one heck of a weekend. Lots of going on in pro wrestling. As always, a week doesn't go by where it's just a boring, non-eventful. Something has to happen. And if it's not here, then it's in Mexico, which is where I want to start. Triple Mania 25, their biggest show of the year. In Mexico City, huge turnout, as one would expect. We get a huge main event that had been built for almost a year. Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Psycho Clown. In a lucha de apuestas, mask versus mask. Nobody really thought here the legend Wagner would be losing his mask. Then you have Psycho Clown, probably the most over baby face in AAA. It was going to be huge. We knew that. Tamika, we saw these two main event, Mucha Lucha Atlanta 11. You got to see these two great luchadors in person here in Atlanta back in March, but it all led to this.
And unmasking, I mean, again, you didn't expect it. You expected some shenanigans. You luchadors losing their mask is a huge thing. And, you know, again, two legendary, two performers who are just, that just unheard of, unreal, amazing. That it happened.
Well, Dr. Wagner Jr. lost the mask. He lost his match, and we had to see him unmask. Wow. I mean, first of all, he took his mask off, and I felt like, am I seeing the real guy? He looked just like the guy from the commercial, from the beer, from the Dos Equis commercials.
The most interesting man in the world. I know now when I see him, I'm just going to hand him Dos Equis and take pictures. I mean, let's be honest. He does look like that guy. And he is muy guapo, I think is the word in Espanol. It was unexpected. You really, really have to understand the culture that these masks, these are symbols of respect, that they don't go out in public. They're not photographed. Whenever there is someone under a mask, it is a very, very big deal. And for someone of his stature to lose his mask is a huge, huge deal. It may not mean a lot in America because I think the last popular luchador in America that is, I guess, Americanized that lost their mask, so to speak, would be Rey Mysterio Jr. And so people are just so used to him now being unmasked. It's just one of those deals where, you know, I like caught my breath like, no, that's not going to happen. Somebody's going to run out. Something's going to happen. And when nothing happened, when, you know, that unmasking happened, it was just like, okay, here we go. And this is historic. So you thought that was a big deal for Triple Mania. But I'm sure we're going to talk about something else that happened that turned out to be a very big deal.
Yes, but before we get to that, to your point, you know, definitely things like that could happen, shenanigans where you'll find, you know, ways to not have either guy lose. But they did it. And in the end, Dr. Wagner Jr. lost his mask. And when he unmasked, he introduced himself to the world. Juan Manuel Gonzalez Barron. He was 52 years old. And out of respect, handed his mask over to his opponent, Psycho Clown. And then, with his son by his side, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. Now, is this the end of Dr. Wagner Jr.'s career? Not sure. We know that he has now been renamed as Ray Wagner. His son is not going to carry on the name and that legacy. It's huge. But like you said, controversy follows everywhere. And this time, no exception. And this time, it happened with the women. There was a four-way match earlier tonight for the AAA Reina de Reinas Championship, where Sexy Star, the champion, was defending the belt against Ayako Hamada, Lady Shani, and Rosemary. And apparently things happened, and Sexy Star at the end did an armbar on Rosemary and really cranked it up and then held on for a few seconds, long seconds, after the match was over, injuring Rosemary. Thankfully, the reports are saying that, you know, nothing is broken. But it could have been worse, but she's going to be out for a short period of time. Thankfully, Global Force Wrestling has already taped a bunch of the shows, so she's going to be able to have that break to recover. But man, Sexy Star, then going out and saying that was a work. But no work. Rosemary saying it was a shoot. She went for business for herself and actually tried to hurt Rosemary. From the word is Vampiro for Sexy Star to apologize to Rosemary. We haven't heard from Sexy Star. Rosemary has tweeted about the situation. People can go on her Twitter to see that. Sexy Star now, of course, she's getting blackballed. All the wrestlers out there have been outspoken about the situation on Rosemary's side, rightfully so. Sexy Star was booked to be at WrestleCade in November. They have now canceled that booking because they don't want her in the show after her actions. What do you think here?
In case you listen to this show and you don't know wrestling terminology, a work is where it appears that you're hurting or not injuring. A work is a part of the storyline where, you know, the story is that Sexy Star hurt Rosemary, but she did not. It's just part of the show. Just like, you know, when people wrestle and they fight, and, you know, it's all predetermined or what have you. So there is some controversy there because Sexy Star said it was a work, and then Rosemary came back and said, absolutely not. This woman, you know, we're supposed to protect one another in the ring. We're supposed to look out for each other. We put our lives in each other's hands. And she basically disrespected that code of brotherhood, or in this case, sisterhood in wrestling, where you do not legitimately try to hurt the people that you're wrestling against. It is absolutely ridiculous, and I do not understand why Sexy Star would do such a thing. I understand that during the match, and I've watched some of the match, not the entire match, but during the match, perhaps Sexy Star felt that her other opponents were perhaps a little bit stiffer than usual with her or what have you. That's still no excuse to try to legitimately injure somebody. She dislocated Rosemary's shoulder. It was able to be, you know, kind of popped back into place later, but to hurt somebody and to potentially literally put this person out of work, to take money out of their pockets, food off of their table, in a business where you know how difficult it is to to go into here night after night and to work and to put your body through the bumps and the bruises, the pains and the bumps that they do is, I guess, lack of a better word, disgusting. It's like hitting somebody with your car because you just feel that they're too slow or in your way. It's not something that a normal person would do. So I really question what Sexy Star's mindset is at this point for doing something like this. Maybe she felt that she had to do something to make a statement because she was pretty much handed this belt because AAA took it off of Taya. And maybe she heard some scuttlebutt in the locker room. Maybe she thought the girls were talking about her, or who knows what was in her head at the time. It's just a very good thing that Rosemary is not seriously injured, but Sexy Star did something that you do not do if you want to work in the wrestling business. You do not lose trust. And she lost trust with not only people in the locker rooms where everybody's waiting, like you said, but she lost trust with fans. People want to be entertained. They want to see good wrestling and lifelike movements and what have you, but you do not legitimately want to see somebody injured and hurt to the point where they may not be able to wrestle. Thankfully, again, Rosemary will be able to rest this injury and recover. Recovery looks great, but I know for a fact that if Sexy Star was at a show that I was planning to go to, I would, you know, thank Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, you know what? I would have spent my money for a show, for this show, but I don't want to see this person, so I'm not going to go. So kudos to everybody who is taking her off the shows, blackballing her as it is. And she needs to apologize, that not just this half-assed apology that was done in the locker room, but she needs to come clean and say, you know what? Hey, I freaked up. I messed up. I know it. And I'm sorry, and I'm legitimately sorry, and, you know, I'm going to take this punishment and, you know, reflect or whatever. But it probably won't happen. And then a lot of people think it's a work. Some people really think it was just part of the story that both girls are playing the part. If it is, it's the biggest one since I don't know what. But I just don't think that watching the way that match ended and seeing how that armbar was in there, that just was nasty looking. It looked like Rosemary was legitimately in pain and that this was just malicious and vicious for no reason. So I'd like to see AAA strip her of the belt and, you know, have a tournament again, because that should not be your champion. If you have a person who's going to represent you, who's going to want to get into the ring with this girl when she legitimately is hurting people? Nobody. That belt is now meaningless on Sexy Star, so they need to pull it off and put it on somebody and kind of save face, too, with their fan base, because right now they haven't done or said anything, and that's another slap to the face, I feel, for the industry, because, again, you can't stand behind somebody who does this to another person.
Yeah, and again, we haven't heard Sexy Star's side of it, and who knows if we will. Right now, I guess she's just realizing, if she hasn't already, that her actions have consequences, and it sucks for Sexy Star. But hey, if she's truly at fault for this, then, you know, she's only getting what she deserves. But again, we haven't heard her side. Rosemary has sent out, you know, messages on Twitter on her end. If anybody wants to read those, at We Are Rosemary is where you can go to her account there and see what her side of the story is. She feels at peace with it. She's done with it. She wants to look forward to getting better, healing up, and having a great future in the wrestling business. Thankfully, this incident did not end it or put it at risk. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. We're grateful it wasn't. But, you know, let's talk about some positive news, though, however, in the world of pro wrestling, in the women's division. AEW's sister promotion, Roar, had its third show this past Monday as we went Monday Night Roar live. Tamika, you and Danny Danger were on commentary. Of course, I was there, you know, handling the sounds, and it was a fantastic show. Very fun, with 3 hours that did not feel like it. All the girls were pros. Some girls that we haven't seen live in the past. Some that we haven't seen in a while. But man, it was an awesome show. What were some of your favorite moments of that of Monday night? And maybe your match of the night, which I think will be the same as mine.
Like you said, there was not a bad match on this card. From start to finish, everything was just some of the best women's wrestling I've seen live just in a long time. And I've been to lots of all women shows, but these ladies brought their A, B, C, D, E, every letter of the alphabet. That game was brought Monday night. They came to put on a show, they came to perform, and it showed. It was well worth missing on Raw, because it was, of course, an evening show, and people were like, oh, yeah, you know, Raw's on. If you're still watching WWE and there's a Raw show going on, I'm telling you, you're watching the wrong show. I loved everything about this. We had Leva Bates come, and she did an awesome Constantine cosplay against PK, Priscilla Kelly. Their interaction, I'd love to see more of them somewhere down the line. They are both in Shine, PK being the Shine Nova champion. Leva needs a belt in Shine, so you never know. Something, this could spin off into something, a nice program with them down there in Florida when Shine comes back. That would be great to see. Match of the night goes to somebody that most wrestling fans will recognize and know on sight and by name, Miss Ivelisse, the Huntress, the baddest bitch in the building. Ivelisse took on somebody wrestling fans may not be so familiar with yet, but ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages, you need to understand and get to know Isla Dawn. These two put on a clinic. You would figure, because you don't know who Isla Dawn is, it would be easy. Ivelisse, again, she's fought men all over the world, some of the best competitors in the world on the male and female level. You figure Ivelisse would take this relatively newcomer and just put her down easy, quick. Did not happen. This match was everything that women's wrestling should strive to be. Every woman, whether you're a pro or just starting out in the business, I say you watch this match and you watch what happens. You watch the story, the psychology, the physicality. Everything was absolutely perfect. I am not Dave Meltzer. I usually don't do stars. This one was 7. Yes, I said 7. That was the match of not just the night. That could be match of the year in any capacity, whether it be a male or just wrestling or female or what have you. That match was everything that wrestling should be. So, yeah, I'm excited because there's some controversy on the ending of the match, which means we might get to see a rematch, a part two, somewhere down the line. I'm throwing money at somebody because where it is in the world, if I need to get on a plane and break out my passport, I'd love to see this one again.
Ivelisse was Isla Dawn was amazing. Those two put one heck of a performance. Now, of course, Dawn being one of the more unknown names, but we've seen her in AWE / Roar for a hot minute now, and she's been getting better and better. And can I say, this crowd was fantastic. The opera was amazing. People were loving every minute, and I believe, I could be wrong, but this is probably the first, you know, women's match to get money thrown at the match. I can't remember if there was one before this.
I'm almost positive in AWE or / Roar, this is probably the first match to get, I am positive you are correct that we've done it for guys' matches before. I know we've done it Stone and Ciampa. We tossed money into the ring. The ladies brought it, guys. Respect that the crowd the live audience feels when we reach into our pockets and roll up our money and throw it into the ring. It is the ultimate sign of respect, and it was well deserved. From the stage area, I was reaching in my pocket as I was trying to do commentary to throw money in the ring. You know, that's how great these ladies were. When this comes out, if it comes out on VOD, stream, or what have you, again, it is worth the price of two tickets to admission to any damn show on the world in wrestling to get a hold of this, to pay, to watch, to see these ladies perform. That's how good it is. Again, I was there live. I'm going to pay to watch this match again, whether it be stream, VOD, whatever, because it's just that good.
And you got to call it on commentary. How awesome was that?
Amazing. The ladies almost left me speechless. I had to remember to talk because it was so much action. It was so hard hitting that the reason I think the crowd had no choice but to throw money, because they swept you along with them. Whether you were cheering for Ivelisse, whether you were cheering for Isla Dawn, who was undefeated in Roar. Here is Ivelisse, a world-class competitor, going against someone who was at the time 3-0 in her matches in AWE. The crowd was split. You wanted to see either one of these ladies win, but you were good with either one of them losing because they were just bringing it. They brought you along for the ride. Every hit, every punch, every pinfall was a nail biter. It was one of those things where you wanted more. You wanted to see just how far things would go. And they kept going. Things kept progressing. It reached a level where if this was an opera in Opera Nightclub, the crescendo was breaking. They hit every note to the fullest and to the highest. Kudos to those ladies, because again, I've not seen anything like this ever, male or female, and I've watched a ton of wrestling. This was great.
Yeah, we also got to see Kiera Hogan in action after it was announced that she had signed a contract to be a part of Global Force Wrestling, and the fans got to show their appreciation for her. Will this have been the last time we've seen her? That's to be determined. But man, the fans were there to show her all the love that we have for her. She has truly been a homegrown talent. Someone we've seen. I remember her at the third ever AWE show as a valet for Owen Knight. Just a girl who was there by his side. And see the transformation from that to a pro wrestler and the fantastic job she's done. She's currently the CCW Spirit Champion. She's currently the WSU Spirit Champion. So she has that. She's getting bookings in all major companies. Shine. She'll also be a part of the WrestleKate convention. So definitely a lot of great things to look forward to with Kiera Hogan. That was great. Camilla Kane destroying Aspen Rose.
Camilla Kane played with her food. Roar officials and matchmakers gave her a mermaid, and she literally chewed her up and spit her out. Camilla Kane is a beast. She is being tagged as a female Goldberg, and that is no joke. The woman is intense. I made the joke, seeing on paper, that Camilla Kane, before I saw her, was a LFL, Lingerie Football League competitor. I tossed that out there. I was like, get out of here, you know, whatever. Who wants to see this girl? This girl, you want to see her, not because she's beautiful, but she is a legitimate badass. She comes out to the ring. Her music kind of sets the tone. She comes out and she is ready to fight. I like Aspen Rose. She's a good girl. That Little Mermaid was out of her league. Camilla Kane was Ursula, and Ursula won this match hands down, easily, just squashing poor little Aspen Rose. Camilla Kane's a force to be reckoned with, and Camilla Kane is, I believe, to take over war, or maybe she's taking it over, not secretly, just with no words, with her actions, because she is laying girls down, whether she's in the match with them, whether she's not in the match with them. She is taking out bodies and leaving them laying in her wake. I'm scared, and I'm not even in the ring.
Absolutely. Of course, we all know Priscilla Kelly defeated Leva Bates in the main event, but it was the actions afterwards when Camilla Kane speared Priscilla Kelly out of the opera. I mean, she knocked her out. The crowd was silent at the end of the show. Camilla Kane trying to send a message that Roar is her house. And you know what? May just be it, but we're not done yet. Because on September 24th, at 8 weeks later, it will be Camilla Kane versus Isla Dawn. We've seen in both girls, you know, undefeated in singles action. They're going to face off. I can't wait to see these two girls. Fantastic, great, very athletic performers. I can't wait to see them and see one of them come out victorious to see who will continue to lead Roar. Kiera Hogan is gone. We don't know how much longer we'll have Priscilla Kelly. She's currently the Shine Nova champion. Also, a lot of great demand for her. She's even going up to Beyond.
She's also part of the Evolve roster. She's an intricate part of the Evolve roster. All these girls are doing good, big things. So now we have these two newer faces on the horizon. Like you said, they're both undefeated. That means something's got to give. Somebody's going to lose this match. And that woman will be one of, if not the most dominant force that Roar may have to offer. 8 weeks later is going to be a turning point for the women of AWE/Roar, because we're going to have changes that not so subtly happen. As we brought in new competitors, they have stepped up and game. They've made these other competitors have to bring it even harder. It was already hard hitting. It's even more so now. So I'm excited. And again, I'm scared because Isla Dawn and Camilla Kane, look at, but these girls mean business. And when they get into the ring, the business is kicking ass. It's going to be great.
So September 24th, 8 weeks later, 4:05 p.m., Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Can't miss it. We'll be there once again. But you know what? I think that the women are taking over, and I think they're taking over this show as well, because now I want to talk about the premiere of the Mae Young Classic. The first four episodes, including all first round matches, were put out on the WWE Network. Those who chose to look at the spoilers know who won. Of course, we knew everybody in the tournament. And this is super exciting for me. Some of my favorite women's wrestlers are in the tournament, including one of the real four horsewomen, Shayna Baszler, who was there, of course, with her fellow horsewomen. So I don't care for that fake imitation of Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Becky.
I'm not going to get into this with you, other than the fact that at least, Charlotte, Bayley, those girls were all actually wrestlers. I'm just saying, recently got Shayna Baszler, well, recently after her MMA, the MMA girls were imitating. They might have said it first, but the wrestling girls, I don't know, they might have did it better. We'll see. Eventually, there'll be a spinoff. There'll be a match. We'll have our four against their four, and we'll see who stands tall. That's what we're working toward. WrestleMania, whatever.
I'll go ahead and tell you right now my favorite matches for each episode was. Episode 1, Abby Lathe versus Jesse Gabbert. For Episode 2, Mia Yim versus Sarah Logan. Episode 3, Toni Storm versus Aisha Raymond. And Episode 4, Tessa Blanchard versus Kairi Sane. So now that we had the first 16 matches, we're now to what you know people call the Elite Eight. And in the round of 16 here, we have Abby Lathe versus Rachel Evers, which two of my favorites right there are facing off. Princesa Sugahit versus Mercedes Martinez. That Nicole Savoy versus Candice LeRae, or as people call her, Candice Wrestling. Mia Yim versus Shayna Baszler. Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair. Dakota Kai versus Rhea Ripley. Serena Deeb versus Piper Niven. And Lacey Evans versus Toni Storm. A lot of great matchups coming up in the second round. Of course, the second round, the quarterfinals and semifinals will roll out September 4th as the next set of episodes next week before the finals on September 12th. But what great matchups are coming up. I can't wait to see all these matches.
These are ladies, again, when people were putting together their fantasy Mae Young Classic drafts, some of these names you did not know or think of, and some of these names you were not sure WWE would even pull them because of, like, a Mercedes Martinez. She's been around for a long time. She's a veteran. And you think about WWE, like, yeah, how they like these girls. Mercedes Martinez didn't necessarily fit the mold. But they, you know, shame on us or good for them that they brought a Mercedes Martinez in. And had her compete and let her compete in this show her, not only just her, I was going to say veteranness, but to show that veteran instinct that she has, but to show that she still is one hell of a competitor. This next set of matches, I expect to be even more awesome than the first round that they put out. And we're just moving along and along and along until finally, I don't know what the ending is going to be now, especially with Asuka retiring or the belt or leaving the belt vacant on NXT, what that's going to mean for the lady who finally makes it to win this tournament. People are saying, well, she's going to get that NXT title. The fact of the matter is there's so much potential, so much opportunity, and so many good ladies in the next set of matches where, again, if you didn't look at the spoilers, you don't know what's going to happen. In your imagination can happen. And who knows, WWE, when they do these tournaments, some people who, even if you don't win, you still win. So there's some standouts already in these first rounds of matches that I am hoping that WWE just continues that trend to pull those people into the fold. Put them in an NXT, put them on a SmackDown, put them on a Raw, and let's continue to elevate the women's division in the WWE as that will spread out, I think, into the rest of the world. And you'll have more great women's matches throughout every promotion, as it should be.
I'm so excited to see all these women be given a platform as huge as WWE is. And how many will actually get signed? I mean, we know some of these ladies are already signed. But how many more are going to get contracts? You know, how many more are taking this as the opportunity of a lifetime to be noticed? Obviously, they were noticed. Obviously, they were given slots in this tournament for a reason. But now this is like their audition tapes. And they're here to show WWE how good they are, how talented they are. And I think a lot of them, for the most part, show that. And I think many more will remain with WWE in the future. As we saw, the Cruiserweight Classic did with the guys A lot of the men got on to 205 Live. So I could see the same thing for women. You know, it won't be long before the women's division grows. And who knows, maybe we'll see a tag team title. I mean, I know I'm not a big fan of multiple titles, but I want to see women shine in 2018. 2017 has done a lot to open the doors, but now it's time for them to just knock over every door. And in 2018, finally be a year where women's wrestling is truly seen as an equal. I know it's starting to be treated as that, but there's still ways to go. And hopefully the remainder of 2017 will help open those doors so that 2018 will be a great year for women's pro wrestling. I'm definitely happy with what I'm seeing so far.
I agree. Let's go, girls. Let's go, companies. Let's make this happen.
Let's talk a little bit of action with the men. Announced this Monday was that at No Mercy on the award-winning WWE Network at 8 p.m. on September 24th, we're going to see John Cena versus Roman Reigns one-on-one. Roman Reigns, the man who retired The Undertaker. He considers himself the guy and saying that Raw is now his yard. But he has to face who in many people's eyes is the greatest of all time. John Cena. People talk about shoving John Cena in down people's throat. And then some people said the same thing about Roman Reigns. I can tell you something. John Cena proved why he is the man in that verbal confrontation where you can cheer John Cena, you can boo John Cena, but guess what? John Cena is a pro and you're never going to cut him off guard. He knows how to deliver every single time with the mic. Roman Reigns had a couple of hiccups there. If that was a rap battle, Roman Reigns got served on Monday night.
I watched this verbal / beat down several times because it was the most entertaining thing that I've seen on Raw in a long time. It's a shame that it wasn't wrestling that I was watching several times. That was so great on Raw. But I wanted to see a couple of different things. I looked for a couple of different looks. One was, how comfortable did Roman seem basically shooting from the hip or shooting from the heart, if you want to listen to Corey Graves try to smooth it over. And how effortless is John Cena in the ring? How did the crowd, the live crowd, because when John Cena came out, it was the traditional, you know, half Cena love, half Cena hate. And by the end of this, everybody in that arena, from their sounds, were all about Cena. It is a shame that Roman lost this quote-unquote rap battle. It was his opportunity to win the crowd, to win people over, to get them to not remember, as John Cena basically pointed out, that he's a corporate ripoff, that they were trying to make John Cena 2.0, and he is a failure in that regard. Cena took everything that people said and say about him, and he used it himself, so Roman had no ammunition. It was literally being a stick to a gunfight. He was not ready mentally, verbally, or what have you, to go toe-to-toe with John Cena, who literally has nothing to lose. The man is golden. He could have dropped an F-bomb or two and had the FCC on Vince's butt and still would have been okay. Cena spoke like a man who didn't care, but cared, because he knew he wasn't going to get any trouble. Roman spoke like a man who was trying to not get in trouble, but still wanted to try to keep up, but he couldn't. I feel bad for him. I don't know what is going to help Roman Reigns at this point, other than Cena do a great performance. And I think on paper, before these promos were cut, I did not care about this match at No Mercy. I really didn't. I don't really care about the match per se. I just want to see the reactions at this point and to see if they cut more promos or get more in-depth and nasty talking toward one another or on social media even. I want to see the build-up to this. I want this to be a real feud or rivalry, and I don't think I'm going to get what I want just because if one of these guys tears the other one down, WWE loses, and that is not good business for them. But I would love to see these guys get on the mic at Raws or house shows even and just talk mad crazy about one another until their fight happens. That's what I want. But, you know, I don't always get what I want, but I'm spoiled. Somebody make that happen, please.
Let me tell you, let's go back a few years ago when John Cena was feuding with another Samoan. More talented Samoa.
Whoa.
I guess we can say an electrifying Samoan.
An eyebrow-raising Samoan?
Yes. The Rock and John Cena were throwing some truths out there. Fake stories in what they were saying. There were many truths. But you know what? They went back and forth, and hey, John Cena made some money out of those Fruity Pebbles. What happens here is John Cena, he's a pro. He knows how to do what he does. You know, you tell him what he needs. Even if you script him 100%, he knows how to deliver it, and you believe it. Roman Reigns is no Rock. He's as stale as a rock.
Wow.
But that's about it. That's about the only, you know, the only thing he's got similar to The Rock. And other than there's maybe some blood that's you know, running through both their veins.
John Cena put it perfectly when he said to Roman Reigns, "You should be ashamed that I'm part-time and that I do my job better part-time than you do your job full-time." That was the most telling thing and the most truthful thing that Cena said. There is no way a part-timer should do the job better than somebody who's there every day of the week and what have you. Roman Reigns needs to step his game up. He's great in his matches. I'll give him that. I've pulled back on the Roman hate. Match-wise, he's okay. He's not like the best technical wrestler in the world or what have you, but the matches are solid. It's the entertainment portion that he is sorely lacking in. It's the personality department that he's sorely lacking in. It's creativity that he's sorely lacking in. And that's, for him, what the WWE audience demands and expects. So until he changes those aspects of his game, yeah, we're stuck with Cena because they're going to pull him in because they know that he is the total package. Until Roman becomes that, sorry, we're stuck with Johnny Boy.
Roman Reigns is not a believable character. His look is great. But when he starts talking, the facials, to me, it just seems all fake. You know, I know they're all scripted, but I mean, if you're good at what you do, you're going to make the script believable. They do it in the movies all the time. I mean, has this boy not taken acting lessons? He should.
Nope. Yes, he needs them. He definitely needs them.
I'm totally like, yes, the in-ring, he's gotten so much better. He's does such a great job. But it's just the facials, and when he talks, it's just like, my goodness, dude, can you at least try? So putting him against Cena, maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I'm not sure right now. I mean, he was better off wrestling somebody else that, I don't know. To me, I feel like it was a risk. I get why they're doing it right now. Cena's going to be gone again. Who knows how long this time. So you got to take advantage of it. Make it happen. But I don't know. I'm not sure what Reigns will get out of this other than a win against John Cena. And will that be enough?
He's got to step his game up, and maybe, just maybe, that'll be enough. Here's hoping.
Well, one thing that you can hope out of Roman Reigns is to remain in the top 10 of the PWI 500. The annual issue came out this week, and I don't know who all 500 are. I haven't gotten a copy of the magazine. Which, you know, is digitally available right now online for $3.99. But we do know who the top 10 are. And here we go. Number one, for the first time ever, a Japanese wrestler is number one in the PWI 500 with New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP Heavyweight Champion Okada being ranked number one. The PWI 500 is not a list of, oh, who is the, you know, the greatest in real life. It's kayfabe. You take a look at their win-loss records, how prominent they've been in the promotions they are, the quality of matches, quality of opponents, stories, blah, blah, blah. So you're looking at all those. Now you're looking at a period of June 2016 to June 2017. So that's also, because some people may say, oh, well, maybe Kenny Omega deserved a higher spot. We'll get to him in a minute. Because he won the IWGP US Championship. And he made it to the finals of the G1 Climax. But that was in July and August of 2017. Which are not in the criteria, in the period required for the rankings. So, Okada, number one. Tamika, do you agree or disagree?
I absolutely, positively agree. Okada had a stellar PWI season, I will say. He has been at the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's been at IGWP, whatever. He's been that champion for seemingly ever. Number two, considering that, yes, I understand that New Japan is not as widely recognized as the WWE. The WWE is being the flagship of the world. But New Japan and the work Okada has put in, the opponents he's gone against, his matches, him losing the belt, him winning the belt, the reaction of the crowd, the tournaments, everything that Okada touches, no joke, is golden. So for him to be number one this year in this issue is absolutely deserved.
Definitely, I see a lot of merit for Okada to be number one. He had a lot of tough opponents to get through in that period of time. A lot of great matches. No one can deny he was the ace of New Japan. The guy, and whether he lost or he won, or he went to a time limit draw, he showed why he's one of the best in the world. But so did number two on the list, last year's number four, the man who run the champ that runs the camp, AJ Styles.
How was he number four last year? I do not know. I am, of course, an AJ Styles fan. If Okada is number one, I would make AJ 1A. But, of course, you cannot do that. So, number two in this period is great. I was extremely scared for AJ coming into the WWE. He has now seemed to not only found a niche, but he is indeed running the show. SmackDown Live is the house that AJ built. And he has been taking this show and these matches that he's in to new heights. He brings a new dimension that we never thought we would see in the WWE. His athleticism, his toughness, his charisma, because he is charismatic. And he brings that to the table. And he has SmackDown Live. I think Talking Smack also was a huge part, perhaps, of character development for AJ Styles. That helped him as well. So his in-ring prowess is absolutely almost unmatched in throughout the world. He's had matches with Okada. It's just the combination of him getting to the quote-unquote big show and not falling behind, but stepping up and making everybody else around him step up and bring their better game and better promos and just in-ring personas out more. That makes this number two for AJ Styles in the PWI 500 is exactly a great place for him. Number two, I'm good with AJ.
AJ Styles has been one of the most consistent pro wrestlers in all the world since he went, while he was in TNA, and then when he went to Japan, and then he came to the Fed. From day one, when he made his debut at the Royal Rumble, he showed that he was one of the best. He has helped carry the WWE for the last year and a half. He's been a champion when maybe he wasn't brought to be one. He was probably going to be treated as a mid-carder, but she showed that he was better than that. Deserved as the number two guy, absolutely. He was a champion. He was a world champion. He was in all over. As far as storylines is concerned, I mean, he was all over. You needed AJ Styles more than he needed you. SmackDown wouldn't be the same without AJ Styles. Also, it wouldn't have been the same without the former face of America, Kevin Owens, who lands at number three. Now, people may wonder, why the heck is Kevin Owens number three? How did he go from six to three? Well, I'll tell you why. At this year's Royal Rumble, he defeated Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. He went on to main event the next pay-per-view in a losing effort to Goldberg. Two huge matches right there. And of course, he and AJ have been battling out as well. He and Jericho have been battling out. A guy who's been very prominent in the storylines. A guy who has held also multiple championships in this time frame. Maybe this are not always booked the way people would like, but he has been a great performance, and I love that he's getting that recognition. Also shows how WWE heavy this, you know, rankings are, but of course, it's a kayfabe ranking, and you can understand, you know, you watch mostly WWE and then everything else when you have time.
It's WWE heavy, like you said, because that's the move. That's the show or the shows that everybody worldwide watches. Everybody doesn't watch New Japan. Everybody does not do not follow the indie scene as close to know who and what continent and what promotion and what have you. So you're going to have lots of WWE people who are at the top of their game maybe, or just kind of as of WWE's star and staying power. In Kevin Owens' case, is not a bad place to be. Kevin Owens had great matches, that program with Sami Zayn, where they would literally fight forever. And every match had something different, where they would do match after match after match, and you would figure like, oh my gosh, I'm tired of seeing these two fight. They would bring different elements to the table to make their stuff exciting, which in turn got crowds behind, and in turn kind of helped Sammy get over, help Owens become this, you know, monster heel almost. So his work, ring work, but his work in general, I think, is a great place for him to be three, and a great place for people to just recognize the genius that is Kevin Owens.
Number four, dropping from number one, and that is the guy and the man who runs the yard, Roman Reigns.
We talked about Roman and his lack of the things that I won't say we, the things that I feel that he lacks. I think that finally the PWI is saying, you know, while yes, he's had a lot of good matches and been prominent in a promotion, there is such a thing as the fans vote or the fans base to see how beloved or unbeloved a person is. And I think Roman's downfall, the fall of the Roman Empire, if you will, is not so much his in-ring prowess, but what's happening on the outside of the ring. This is another wake-up call to say, hey, you drop down from number one to this one, and you could steadily go down if you something about your character doesn't change. So hopefully something changes and it's based on something fun like the candy. Just something fun and different. I don't know. But he's in the right place. Maybe not. I probably would have been like the top 20. But, you know, again, it's WWE people. They're always up top. So we'll just let it go.
If anybody has been, you know, prominent in storylines, had top storylines, it has been Roman Reigns. He's headlined WrestleMania. You know, he has faced the who's who, always in top storylines, top matches. So you got to give it up. I mean, he is getting all those opportunities, and you know, the wrestling has improved, and I think that, you know, he should be in the top 10. I don't hate his placement. Some people may say number 5 in our list, Kenny Omega, would have been a better number 4. But again, I think maybe next year we'll see things change. We'll see. Maybe both guys will be higher. Those would be interesting. That would be an interesting scenario to watch for. But one of my favorites, Kenny Omega, the cleaner, the leader of the Bullet Club, and one of the elite.
The elite.
As a number 5, going from 23 last year, now in the top 10, in the top 5, is this the right place for Kenny Omega?
This list, it's 500 wrestlers long, and it is so hard to think of a top 10. But again, based on the criteria, based on what time frame this was all considered for, this is not a bad space for Kenny Omega. On a personal level, yes, I always feel that he should be higher, and considering Roman's above him. But professionally speaking, matches, but outside of the time frame that this list is being compiled for, he had been on somewhat of a upward incline, but he still had matches that he did not win cleanly, or just that were not as high profile. Some of his opponents were, you know, not necessarily quality opponents. Even though the matches were full of good content, the opponents were just not up to quote unquote par and standard. So next year, I can absolutely positively see Kenny Omega being perhaps number two. That's my prediction for next year. Omega's number two.
I think he will definitely crack the top three for sure. Not sure number two, number three, but I mean, I'm very biased and would love to see him at number one. But let's be realistic here. Number six. Moving up one spot from number seven last year, Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm interested to see where Shinsuke winds up next year, because right now I see him dropping out of the top 10 only because it seems like the WWE, having him on the main roster, they're losing some of the Nakamura magic. The criteria last year, he was still in NXT and absolutely positively doing things and having matches, and everything was special. Now, it doesn't feel the same level of height of intensity. Maybe that'll change, but as we stand right now, this is a good spot for him for last year, and I fear for his spot for next year.
Yeah, Nakamura's definitely been a case where he was very prominent in NXT storylines. Since his debut on NXT, has been there for a while, and then moving up to the main roster, things may seem like they've quieted down some, but he's still, you know, in the picture wise, he's in the overall, he's been handled very well. He's been put in positions to look very important. So I think that also takes a lot into account. Of course, going undefeated in the main roster until now may have also helped him with the rankings. He hasn't lost a step, I think, from what he's been doing from Japan to NXT to WWE. So I'm excited to see where he goes from there. But definitely, I think he could drop unless he gets a title. And who knows, if he and AJ Styles go at it at WrestleMania, that could very well keep him in the top 10. Another guy who had a big bump came in from 14 last year to number 7 this year, Samoa Joe. Of course, another guy who came from Impact Wrestling and now at NXT blew people away, you know, helped rule NXT with Nakamura. So I think it's fair to put them next to each other, because they did a lot to carry NXT last year.
Joe. I love Joe and his violent tendencies. Like you said, these two, Nakamura and Joe, have been prevalent in NXT. Joe is still actually a very silent but integral part of the Raw line in their championship hunts and title contentions at this point. So it's very good that he's moved up on the list. I think that next year he might move up one or two based on what's happening right now, but I would love to see him move up even further if he stays healthy and if things go the way the WWE wants. They want Joe to be a destroyer, and if he continues to destroy and just maim people as he has been, I think his number, his spot, so to speak, is well secure.
Also, coming in the main roster. Continued with that success, going from NXT. The momentum has continued on. The way that he's been booked has been great. He and Lesnar put one heck of a match at Great Balls of Fire. Can't wait to see what else they do with Samoa Joe going forward. Here he's currently injured, but he goes from number 9 to number 8. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose is always in my top 10, and not because I think he's smoking hot. But Ambrose was a workhorse. No offense to anybody who's using the term workhorseman. Ambrose was just every SmackDown Live, every SmackDown, Ambrose was there. Ambrose had a title. Ambrose was in title contention. Ambrose was a part of the storyline. Ambrose was doing so much every time he was out in the ring, every show, that a nod and a testament, I think, to the fact that Ambrose turned into Mr. No Days Off. If the WWE needed him to do something, no matter where it was, there he was. And even the storylines that may not have been the best, he still managed to put his spin on it and do what the bosses wanted him to do and still look good because of it. So Dean Ambrose is a natural heel, and I think that he's been a face, and that face he's doing got him on this list high. And let's see if, you know, he moves up any based on what is happening right now with his reforming a tag team with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see where he lands next year. I think, you know, some people would agree, some people may disagree. I'm on the fence. I don't think I would be upset if he hadn't been in the top 10. But I have no problems with that. I love Dean Ambrose, and I think he's a fantastic character. I think very underrated by some people, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm glad that he's been able to give in the time, the opportunity to shine as much as he has in the WWE, and continues to be now part of the tag team division with Seth Rollins. Going in from number 70 to number 9. This is probably the biggest jump to the top 10. This is glorious, because number 9 is Bobby Roode.
Glorious. I'll give it. So, Bobby Roode is one of those competitors who, if you don't know who he is, you look at him and you think, ugh, kind of plain Jane or John type deal, until he starts to wrestle, until he starts to cut a promo, until he just throws his arms up in the air and entire arena starts singing his theme song. People have bought into Bobby Roode, I want to say more so than anybody else who's come outside of AJ and maybe even a Joe, but come from the Impact roster or the GFW, but it was an Impact Wrestling roster. He is one of those folks where you just, you know, you deal with the big sandwich and you go about your business. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it's glorious that Bobby Roode is able to carry NXT like he did for this time frame, and to literally have people singing him to the ring. That's is, and that's how glorious the man is.
To think that Bobby Roode would have had the type of run that he had on NXT, I don't think anyone would have probably believed it. At his age,
not at all.
In Impact Wrestling, I mean, he had a very successful career there, but coming to NXT, I don't think anyone expected to get as big as he did. Of course, a lot can be given, a lot of credit can be given to the fact that his entrance music is glorious. But it baffles me that, you know, at one point that wasn't supposed to be his music. But he ended up taking it because of, I believe that the person that was originally going to get it didn't want it or it didn't fit. And from there, the entrance, he was able to get over with the fans and perform great. And now we see him finally in the main roster. But he, a guy who definitely deserves a spot in the top 10, number 9. It is glorious. And rounding up the top 10 is a man who last year was ranked number 22. And he is The Miz.
I came to play. Oh, sorry. I like Miz. Miz has been consistent for the past 850 years. He's been the Intercontinental Champion, it seems like, forever. And if he hasn't had the belt, he's been in a feud for the belt. He has been, again, like Dean Ambrose, actually. He's been doing everything that he needs to do in the ring, on the mic, to be the best heel that the WWE has. True heel, where he will talk crazy and hide behind his wife or if he has minions or what have you. So this is a well-deserved place because Miz shows up. Miz does the work. Miz doesn't get hurt. Miz doesn't take days off. Miz is a great little worker bee who is proven again that, you know, you don't have to be the biggest. You just have to be one who has a passion for this business and willing to do what it takes to get to the top. Miz has done that. He's successful at it. He continues to do it. And he has these custom coats that, you know, he doesn't even have to wear more than one time. That's what I want to be when I wrestling grow up. I want to be like The Miz.
The Miz has done so much for WWE. To think that this was a kid who came from the real world. And he got a lot of flack for not being a real wrestler. And you know what? He made it. He main evented WrestleMania. Of course, that was not part of this year's ranking. But The Miz has had a fantastic year when he was on SmackDown. Now that he's been on Raw, he's been IC champion, having Maurice by his side. Everything has worked fantastic for him. And I'm happy that he gets recognized for that. He is truly one of the best in and out of the ring. He performs. He may not be the best technical wrestler, but when you put him in that ring, you're going to get a great, fun match. And he can carry many a people like he made, like he did with, you know, once upon a time, Johnny Nitro. And up to now, you know, where, you know, he's carrying the Mistourage. Tell me if I'm lying, but is the Mistourage now? But aren't the Mistourage important now because they're with The Miz?
You do pay attention to them now because they are with The Miz. The Miz has elevated their status so people know their names and up on site know who they are. That's important for wrestler. People should know your name and know who you are. And thanks to The Miz, we now know who these two gentlemen are. Sad but true.
So that runs up the top 10. Do you agree? Do you not? Tweet us at FOW Radio, hashtag PWI500. Let me hear you guys. See what you think. Who should you think should have been number one? Is Okada the right call? Anybody that should have been in the top 10, in your opinion? Let us know on Twitter. But that is the show for tonight. Thanks for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Wrestling with Words Audio Network on iTunes, Android devices, SoundCloud. Check us out there. Please go on iTunes and give us a rate and review. We definitely appreciate all the comments and all the positive reviews. Also, WrestlingWithWords.com. Check out all the family of podcasts on the network, as well as all the great articles and reviews on pro wrestling. Check us out on Twitter at FOW Radio. Tamika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.